As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
It's now coming to City Council for the final action on the zoning code, and it's not surprising that there's some different views about this. I mean, my own take on it is we have about 1,000 people a year who move to Bloomington, who want to live in Bloomington. That's been a steady growth over the last 20 years or so, and they need places to live, and we want to have a city that's sustainable and inclusive and that welcomes people from all walks of life, so we have to keep evolving. I think the key for me is a balance of evolution, not revolution. There are people who are concerned about increased density in any parts of the city or certain parts of the city. There are some of the things this new code does, I won't go on too long about it, but people can watch the city council meetings. But a couple things are, we create a new, what's called a multifamily student district, where it's really steering major new multifamily apartment buildings that are designed for students, particularly undergraduates. It's creating a new zone to steer those into places close to the university, more compact, close to transit and all, rather than being kind of randomly spread out. So that's one good thing. The zone also is making things more predictable for everybody by getting rid of some of the, we've got about 100 special zones, planned unit developments that are kind of spot zoning almost that we're eliminating. And then we're looking at, probably the most controversial area is I would describe as the missing middle. And maybe more than people want to know, but since World War II, much of the housing has been either single family houses that get built on a single lot or kind of 20 plus multifamily apartment buildings. And the missing middle are those smaller, very small apartment buildings or quads or tris or duplexes or little co-ops or townhomes. And there are a lot of those. There's more than 700 of them in our city, but they're mostly older. And so one of the challenges in our city, like many others, is how do you encourage the diversity of housing types to keep developing in the decades ahead? So that's what this tries to do, and there are different viewpoints about it.
And the one thing that I always bring up, because I find it fascinating, is the intersection of capitalism and government, because you have to kind of rely on each other for this, don't you?
So, yeah, look, private development and private investment, whether it's an individual buying a home or an investor building an apartment building, if you don't have that, then your city's in trouble, if you don't have people who want to invest money in this future of the city. On the other hand, from my perspective, if you don't have good controls that say what kind of building can be built and where and what kind of standards do you have for green space and height and sustainability, et cetera, then you can have really unbridled and really growth that can damage neighbors. So that balance is something that's struck all the time. Bloomington has about 1/3 homeowners and 2/3 renters in our population. That's the flip of the state average of 2/3 owners and 1/3 renters, which is not surprising in a university city like this. But trying to get the right balance to make sure we want young families to be able to buy homes. We want to avoid sprawl. We also want to have efficient use of our space and our public infrastructure. So that's what this is all about. And I'm pretty comfortable that we're pointed toward a good evolution to keep making our city, which is the most expensive city to live in Indiana, to try to keep making it available to people from all walks of life.
Where do you think the fear comes from? Is it the not in my backyard, or I don't want, if my neighbor moves out and somebody can swoop in and buy their house and knock it down and put up one of these deals, and all of a sudden I've got students everywhere. What do you think the fear is? And I know you don't have that fear, but the brushback, the blowback, is it from the cramping out of the homeowners, the 1/3?
Yeah, I do think, we are an unusual housing market with 40,000 undergraduates, most of whom live off campus. So that's not your typical city market, housing market. So there's understandable sensitivity about how do you manage the balance between homeowners and long-term renters and undergraduates who may be here for 4 years. And I live in a very mixed neighborhood just south of the campus that has all kinds of people in it, including undergraduates and people who've lived in their home for 40 years. But that mix is delicate, and some people worry that it can shift, and it's appropriate to think about that. We think about that. On the other hand, it's important to have a dynamic market where people, right now, there are a lot of neighborhoods that it's just really hard for a new family that wants to move to town to live in. And there's a lot of places where if you want to rent as a family for a year or two, it can be difficult to find that. So it's a complicated market. And again, we're kind of tweaking the dials and trying to keep adjusting and responding. And when you're the most expensive housing market in the state, you need to think about how do we keep evolving to make sure people can continue to move here and live here successfully.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest every Tuesday just after 4:05. And before we let you go, I would be remiss not to ask about Mr. Mick Renhuizen, your deputy mayor, his final days in office.
We are counting down. Actually, it's funny, Mike, today is 40 years to the day from when Mick began in city government.
16,400 and whatever that number was. Oh, my goodness.
Right. That's right. And then he's got just finishing out this week. It's been a wonderful service he's given to the community as a whole, I'll say, on behalf of the whole city, mostly in parks for 35 of those years. And what a legacy in parks. And then I particularly have a personal interest in the last 5 years where he's been a deputy mayor next to me and worked really hard and a wonderful public servant to try to move forward our community. And we're going to miss him. We're glad he's staying here. And, you know, we're gonna try to pull him into some of those boards and commissions in the future, maybe, to keep him engaged in everything. But it's been a wonderful run and testament to his commitment to this community. He's done so much good over the years.
Absolutely. And I second all of that. And Mick will make his final official visit with us on Thursday in his normal spot at 4:05 as well. Good news. Good job bringing up Celeste there. Boards and commissions, folks, go to the city's website. If you want to be involved in government, here's the best way to do it. Your government, local government right here. And I do not want to get on Celeste's bad side. She hurt me in trivia last week. I was only 1 for 3. That was my worst performance in a few weeks. So I want
some softballs next time.
Well, I just want to keep the karma on. I don't mess with Celeste. I don't mess with Mother Nature. And I try not to mess with my wife. And I figure if I can do all those three things, everything should be, as Bob Marley, every little thing is going to be all right, I would hope. Now, time to grab your parka, if you remember where you put it, and your snow shovel, if you remember where you put that, and be safe, and don't be slip-sliding around tomorrow morning.
Mike, thanks. It's good week. Everybody be careful, and we'll talk to you again next week.